Welcome to the Real Estate Espresso Podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Menashe. Today's another AMA episode, that is, Ask Me Anything. I'd love to answer your questions, and if you have a question you think is going to be of broad interest, send it in. I'll answer it live on the air. Send your questions to Victor at victorjm.com. That's Victor at victorjm.com. Today's question comes from Chandler, who writes, I was turned on to your podcast a little over a year ago and have received tremendous value from your insights ever since. Thank you for your consistent efforts to deliver information about the nuts and bolts of the real estate world. A little over a year ago, I purchased my first storage facility. After completing a fairly substantial facelift on the property and aggressively managing the rates, I've been able to double my gross revenue from the time of purchase. However, even with the increased rates, the demand for my units continues to outpace supply. I have no previous experience in construction, so the idea of an expansion project overwhelms me, but I don't plan to let that stop me. The property adjacent to mine is a large tract of vacant land. I'd like to approach the owner about purchasing the property from him, but I don't want the potential price or terms of the deal to be influenced by the fact that I own the storage next door. Is there a way I can find out how much he wants for the land and make an offer on the property without disclosing my identity? Would this strategy even be appropriate, or am I overthinking the whole thing? Thanks again for all your help. Well, Chandler, thanks for the kind words, and this is a great question. I had a similar situation years ago in Philadelphia. We bought a basket of properties from the Philadelphia Housing Authority in an auction, a package of 15 properties all purchased in one day. Some of these were properties that we wanted, and then others that just came along for the ride. We really didn't care that much about them. Four out of these 15 properties were located on the 1700 block of Ingersoll Street in Philadelphia. It was a terrible block. Most of the lots had been condemned, and if there was a structure remaining on the property, it was in derelict condition. At first, we figured these four sad-looking properties were pretty much worthless, so we assigned a nominal value of $6,000 apiece as their portion of the total package price. We figured we would unload them later for whatever we could get for them, even if that meant taking a loss. And then at one of our strategy meetings, we took another look at this block and asked the opposite question. What if we could assemble some properties together? What if we could assemble the entire block? What would the value be then? Would the value be worth more than the sum of its parts? So we decided to try and assemble the entire block, and it took nearly 5 years to accomplish. We made these purchases slowly, individually, using multiple entities, so that someone searching title could not figure out what we were doing. We knew that if the sellers recognized that we were attempting an assembly, the price would automatically go up. In the end, our average purchase price across all 19 lots was a little over $13,000, and we overpaid vastly for the last two lots. The anonymity helped us with our average cost. It kept it down, and it made for a very successful project. But you have to realize, the zoning on the entire block was the same. It was all zoned for multifamily construction. We didn't need to speculate on what we'd be allowed to build on the properties. In our case, it came down simply to price. Now, in your case, what the seller wants is actually less relevant. Before you even have a conversation with the seller, you need to determine three things. Number one, what is the land worth as is? The zoning for the property is likely reflective of what's there now. You want to build storage, and it is not storage now, so chances are high it's not zoned for storage. It might be agricultural or rural or who knows. Some jurisdictions have a classification called development reserve. That means it's zoned for future development, but not right now. And there's nothing in that current zoning designation that would tell you when it might be permitted for future development. If it is agricultural, then its as-is value is a cornfield or whatever its current use is. Then number two, is it going to be possible to get your property rezoned to what you need it to be for your concept? And when I say possible, I mean doing it in a reasonable time frame and somewhat cost effectively. It means talking with the planning department or perhaps with a local planning consultant who can get the information on your behalf. And then number three, you need to work backwards from your ideal case. Knowing what your income from your business is going to be, you work backwards. You want to do all of these calculations on a per square foot basis. Subtract the profit margin you need to make. Subtract your cost of capital. Subtract the operating expenses. Figure out what your cost of construction will be, the cost of servicing the land, and so on. Once you have all of that, then what's left over is what you can afford to pay for the land. Anything more than that and your financial model won't work. This is what we call residual land value analysis. You work backwards from your revenue and your profit all the way back, and what's left over is the land value, or at least what you can afford to pay for the land. But before you know what to offer the seller, you want to get a soils expert to give you an opinion on whether the land is suitable for building your storage facility. The biggest variable in any construction project is going to be the site conditions. If the soil is undisturbed, compacted fill that can accept the weight of a building without settling, your site cost might be low. If, on the other hand, you have to strip off the first 6 feet of land, or if you have groundwater, and maybe you have to bring in a different type of fill and crushed stone and various lime treatments to stabilize the soil, you could literally spend millions on site work before you even pour your first wheelbarrow of concrete. And once you've got the answers to those questions, you're in a great position to have a conversation with the neighbor. You'd be having the conversation from a position of strength. And if at that point you really decide you want the property and you're still concerned about the neighbor increasing the price because they realize it's worth more to you, then enlist the help of a friend to buy the property on your behalf. Chances are good you'll need to do a bunch of work to improve the land from its current condition to something that you can actually build on. When you share the true value with the seller, they might see it your way, or they might not. We don't know. You can often convince a seller that the development value of the land is much lower than they think it is because of the amount of money that needs to be spent before you can lay the first brick in construction. I was part of a project about 20 years ago where the negotiated purchase price for the land was the value of the land minus the cost of developing the land to getting it shovel ready. In the end, in that negotiation, we ended up buying the land for a dollar. I know that sounds outrageous, but that's one of the things that's possible when you take this approach. I want to thank you, Chandler, for a fabulous question. And for the listeners at home, have an awesome rest of your day. Go make some great things happen. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.